Welcome to another deep dive. This time we're looking at mobile interfaces.
Oh, interesting.
Specifically, how our brains actually make sense of all the apps we use every day.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? Because we often don't realize how much cognitive work goes into something as simple as just like finding a button on our phone screen.
Right. It all seems so automatic.
Yeah.
Our source material for this deep dive is an academic paper by Jeremiah D. Still.
Okay.
It's called Mobile Interface Design Patterns and Attentional Maps, and it was published in the International Journal of Human-Computer Interaction just this month, February 2025.
So brand new.
Yeah, hot off the presses.
What I think is really cool about this paper is that Still really dives into how design patterns, you know, the way elements are laid out on screen, can actually impact how quickly and easily we find what we're looking for.
So for this deep dive, we'll be exploring these attentional maps and how they influence our mobile experience.
It might change how you look at your apps forever.
Well, for sure.
To really highlight why this matters, Still starts off with a statistic that might surprise you.
Okay, hit me.
96% of internet users aged 16 to 64 now use smartphones to access the web.
Wow, that's almost everyone.
Yeah.
And I bet a large chunk of that usage is, like me, all about finding information quickly, whether it's, you know, researching a new recipe, catching up on news, or doing some online shopping.
Right, exactly.
So when you think about how much visual searching we're doing on our phones, it becomes clear why efficiency is so crucial to a good user experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody wants to feel lost or frustrated when they're just trying to get things done on their phone.
Definitely not.
But what's the science behind all this? How do our brains actually process all that visual information?
So, Still references some fundamental work in cognitive science.
Okay.
Specifically a concept called levels of processing.
Okay.
And that was developed by researcher Rensink.
Okay.
And it helps explain how we make sense of any visual scene, including what we see on our phone screens.
Okay. Levels of processing. What does that even mean?
So imagine like opening up your favorite food delivery app.
Okay. Yeah.
On the first level, the most basic one, your brain immediately notices things that visually pop out.
Uh-huh.
This is called salience. Like, maybe there's a bright orange banner announcing a limited time discount.
Ah, so it's like those attention-grabbing sales signs you see in store windows.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Then your brain moves to the second level, where it starts constructing a mental layout based on your past experience with similar apps.
Uh-huh.
This is called a schematic map.
Okay.
For example, you might expect to find different restaurant categories listed across the top of the screen.
Interesting. So my brain already has a map of how a food delivery app should be organized.
Right.
Even before I really start looking closely.
Right. And finally, you reach the third level of processing.
Rocket.
Where your brain combines those visual cues and the layout with your understanding of what this type of app is for.
Mm-hmm.
This is called a scene schema. So you confirm, yes, this is indeed a screen for ordering food based on those familiar elements and their relationships to each other.
This is fascinating. So are you saying our brains are constantly predicting what we're going to see based on our past experiences?
Exactly. Now, think about how this applies to the way we actually use our phones.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the F pattern?
Yeah.
It describes how people tend to scan content on larger screens, like desktops, focusing primarily on the top and left side of the page.
Yeah, I've heard of that. But something tells me things work a little differently on mobile.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Still, and another researcher named Hicks actually discovered back in 2020
that
on mobile screens, people tend to follow a railroad track pattern instead of the F pattern.
A railroad track pattern. Okay, I need you to paint me a picture here. What does that even look like?
So imagine those two parallel lines of a railroad track.
Mm-hmm.
On a mobile screen, our eyes tend to move down the left side, jump across to the right, and then move down again, just like a train following the tracks.
Huh. I never consciously noticed that.
Right.
But now that you mention it, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's like we're almost forced into that pattern because of the narrow screen.
Yeah.
We need to scroll up and down.
Exactly. Right. The limited screen space definitely plays a role.
Yeah.
And that leads us to what Still wanted to investigate further in this 2025 paper.
Okay.
Do certain specific design patterns have their own unique attentional maps?
So we have the general railroad track pattern that most of us follow unconsciously.
Huh.
But maybe there's also a specific map for online shopping or for those step-by-step tutorials you see in new apps.
That's the question Still wanted to answer.
Okay.
He focused on three very common design patterns: checkout pages, storefront layouts for browsing products, and those walkthrough screens that guide you through a new app.
Okay, so How did he go about studying these patterns? I'm picturing people hooked up to all sorts of wires, tracking their every eye movement.
It wasn't quite that dramatic, but he did use eye tracking technology.
Right.
Basically, he had 45 participants look at different mobile screens featuring each of those design patterns, and their eye movements were tracked as they freely viewed the screens.
Clever. So did he find out if those specific patterns had their own unique attentional maps?
Well, it's not quite a simple yes or no answer.
Okay.
What's still discovered is that both the generic railroad track map and those more specific pattern maps, were better at predicting where people looked compared to just salience alone.
Hold on, back up a second. So it's not just about what's visually grabbing our attention, like that bright orange banner we talked about.
Precisely.
Okay.
What this means is that our past experience with certain types of screens and apps, those schematic maps we've built up over time, play a huge role in how our eyes move across the screen.
That's pretty amazing. It's like we're unconsciously predicting where things should be based on what we've seen before.
Yeah.
And remember those walkthrough screens?
Yes.
Still looked at?
Yes.
It turns out they had the most consistent attentional map out of the three patterns he studied.
Right.
I'm guessing that's because they often have a very similar design across different apps.
Yeah.
Like a big image in the middle, maybe some explanatory text.
Right.
And a clear next button at the bottom.
Yeah, right.
It's all very structured and predictable.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That consistency makes it easier for our brains to quickly lock onto a pattern and follow along.
Makes sense.
Interestingly, though, the checkout and storefront patterns he tested were more in line with that generic railroad track map we talked about earlier.
Hmm. That's curious. Why do you think that is? They are very different types of screens, after all.
It likely comes down to the fact that storefront and checkout pages often have a similar arrangement of elements.
Okay.
Even across different apps and websites.
Yeah.
Think product images, prices, buttons, like add to cart. They're often scattered across the screen, which might explain why we tend to scan them in that general up-down-across way.
I see. So even though they're performing different tasks, the layout of those screens is similar enough that our brains fall back on that general railroad track pattern.
Exactly.
This is all super interesting, but I have to ask, why does any of this matter for the average person? How can we actually use this knowledge about attentional maps in our everyday lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What's the takeaway for us, the everyday phone users?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, on one level, just knowing about these patterns can help designers create interfaces that are more intuitive and user-friendly.
So no more hunting around for that tiny hidden button.
Ideally, that's right. Designers can use this knowledge to arrange elements in a way that aligns with how our brains naturally want to scan the screen.
So it almost sounds like mind control.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Right.
Like using these principles ethically to help people have a more enjoyable and efficient experience.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
It's about empowering users, not manipulating them.
Right.
Good design can actually reduce cognitive load.
Okay.
Making it easier for us to process information and make decisions.
So instead of feeling overwhelmed by a cluttered screen, we can feel more in control and confident as we navigate the digital world.
That's the goal. But here's something else to consider. Still's research focused primarily on visual search patterns.
Okay.
But what about other sensory inputs?
Like what?
What about audio cues or even tactile feedback?
Whoa, you're taking us to the next level. I hadn't even thought about that. Are you saying those other senses can also influence how we interact with our devices?
Absolutely. Think about the satisfying click you feel when you tap a certain button or the distinct notification sounds that alert you to a new message.
Yeah.
These sensory cues all contribute to the overall user experience.
So it's not just about what we see on our screens.
Right.
It's also about what we hear and feel.
Exactly. And as technology continues to evolve, designers are finding more and more creative ways to engage all our senses, creating truly immersive and multi-sensory experiences.
Okay, now I'm both excited and a little bit scared to see where this is all heading.
Right.
But going back to Still's research for a minute, did he have any specific advice for how we, the users, can become more efficient on our phones, aside from, you know, just being aware of these attentional maps?
Well, he didn't offer a step-by-step guide.
Oh, good.
His findings do point to some interesting possibilities.
Like what?
One thing that stood out to me was the importance of personalization.
How so?
Remember how those mental maps we talked about are based on our individual experiences?
Right. It's like we each have our own unique brain GPS for navigating our phones.
Exactly. And that makes me wonder, what if we could leverage that even further?
Okay.
What if we could customize our app layouts and settings to match our personal preferences and habits?
Mm-hmm.
Could that make us even more efficient?
You mean like rearranging the icons on our home screens?
That's one idea. So the apps we use most are all grouped together in a way that makes sense to us, not some default setting.
Think about it. How much time could we save if we didn't have to swipe through multiple screens to find that one app we use all the time?
Oh, tell me about it. I feel like I waste so much time doing exactly that. But customization could go even further, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What about those annoying notifications?
Ooh, yes.
What if you could personalize the notification settings for each app?
Okay.
So you only get alerted to the things that are truly important to you and tune out the rest.
Okay.
No more notification overload.
Now you're speaking my language. The more I think about it, the possibilities for personalization seem almost endless.
And that's what's so exciting about this field.
Yeah.
There's still so much we can explore and learn about how to design technology that truly adapts to individual needs and preferences.
This is all super encouraging, but let's be realistic.
Okay.
Even with all this knowledge about attentional maps
mm-hmm.
and the potential for personalization, there will still be times when we get distracted or sucked into those digital rabbit holes.
Oh, absolutely. It's human nature. We're constantly bombarded with information and stimulation, especially from our phones.
So any tips for how we can resist those temptations and stay focused?
Well, one strategy I find helpful is to be mindful of your intentions before you even pick up your phone.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, what am I trying to accomplish here?
So basically, set a clear goal before you dive in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Having a purpose in mind can help you stay on track and resist those tempting notifications or endlessly scrolling feeds.
It's like going to the grocery store with a shopping list.
Uh-huh.
You're much less likely to impulse buy if you know exactly what you need.
That's a great analogy. And another helpful tip is to create boundaries.
Okay.
Set specific times for checking your phone.
Right.
And do your best to stick to those limits.
I know. Easier said than done, right?
Right.
But I also know it's really important to disconnect sometimes and give our brains a break from the constant stimulation.
You're absolutely right. And don't underestimate the power of your physical environment.
Ooh, yeah.
If you really need to focus, find a quiet space where you can minimize distractions.
Got it. So ditch the noisy coffee shop and head for the library.
Exactly. Or even just a quiet corner of your own home.
Okay.
The key is to create an environment that supports your intention to stay focused.
All of this is super helpful. I'm already feeling more informed and better equipped to handle the wild world of mobile interfaces.
That's what we're here for. Remember, the digital landscape is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
But by understanding these underlying principles of design and attention, we can stay ahead of the curve and use technology to our advantage.
It's like we've unlocked the secret code to mobile mastery.
Mm.
But before we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
I want to leave our listeners with a final thought to ponder.
If
our brains are so good at adapting to these familiar patterns, could that also make us resistant to change? What if those deeply ingrained mental maps actually prevent us from embracing truly new or innovative design approaches?
That's a really thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
Could our desire for consistency actually hinder progress in the long run?
Yeah, it really makes you wonder.
Yeah.
We become so accustomed to things working in a certain way.
Right.
That anything new or different might feel jarring.
Yeah.
Or even off-putting, even if it's objectively better.
It's like those times when your favorite app gets a redesign.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly you can't find anything.
Yeah.
Even if the changes were meant to improve the experience.
Right.
It takes time for our brains to adapt and create those new mental maps.
Exactly. Sometimes I find myself clinging to old versions of apps just because they feel familiar.
Yeah.
Even if I know the new version is supposed to be more efficient or have better features.
I think we all do that from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's a good reminder that our brains are incredibly adaptable.
That's true.
Think about how quickly we all learned to use completely new technologies like smartphones and tablets.
Right.
What once felt foreign and confusing soon became second nature.
That's true. Maybe the key is to approach new designs with a sense of curiosity.
Yeah.
Rather than resistance.
Right.
Give ourselves time to learn and adjust before we dismiss them outright.
I think that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah.
After all, innovation often requires us to step outside of our comfort zones.
Right.
And embrace new ways of thinking and interacting with the world.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into mobile design patterns and attentional maps.
It has been a journey.
It has been a fascinating journey, to say the least.
I agree. We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
From the cognitive science behind how our brains make sense of visual information, to the practical implications of those findings for both designers and users.
For sure. And who knows what exciting new discoveries await us in this ever-evolving field.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one day we'll be talking about attentional maps for virtual reality experiences.
Right.
Or even brain-computer interfaces.
The possibilities are truly endless.
Yeah. But for now, we hope this deep dive has given you a new appreciation for the complex interplay between design and cognition.
I hope so.
And maybe even inspired you to pay closer attention to how your own brain navigates the digital world.
It's a fascinating thing to think about.
It really is. We always love hearing from our listeners.
Yes.
Have you noticed these attentional patterns in your own mobile usage?
Yeah, let us know.
Have you found any clever ways to personalize your devices for maximum efficiency? Share your thoughts and experiences with us.
We're all on this journey of discovery together.
For sure.
And there's always something new to learn from each other.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, happy tapping.
And may your digital adventures be both efficient and enjoyable.